answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
This is
and then the Daily Wire thing.
This is totally cuckoo. This is the 30th time I'm keeping track that Trump says the Iran war is over.
Yeah.
So now Congress wanted to have the 60-day review for the war powers, so they should have done day one. And so now this just broke. We'll put the article up. Politico. Oh, you don't need war powers. The war is over. He said regime change has happened like 10 times.
Yep.
He said the straits open 12 times. This is the 30th time in day 62. She does every 2 days on average that he says it's over. This is the gaslighting. And I want to bash Trump, but I mean, look, they just say he was a liar all the time. I know you were a Trump supporter too. No, he was one of the most honest people ever. Now for the last like 10 months, it changed. He's become the biggest fucking liar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an insult to everybody. I mean, I even had Gab McGinnis on, who's still a supporter of this. I like him. He goes, no, almost all my friends that are Trump supporters don't like this now and hate him.
Yeah.
He said like 90%. And I talked to everybody else. They get the same number.
Yeah, no one's favorable of this war. And,
So you just told me, and it's true, Daily Wire just laid off 50% of their staff. That's indicative of it being a literal Zionist-funded, Israeli-funded organization, just like Salem turns out it's literally run by the IDF, funded by the government directly, while they're accusing us of being foreign agents, no evidence. Yeah. And so, but look, they're all falling apart, losing their audiences doing this. Trump's going to lose the midterms, and he's lying to Congress. Put it back up there, please, Politico, that we won the war again, so there's no need to have a war thing when it's a huge war. And let me read. Did Iran actually say it's over? I bet they didn't.
Yeah, no, they probably didn't. They never do. I think this is a play to kind of try to get the markets to recover because we hit like 120 something to over the past couple of days. We've been flirting into 120 range.
And it's another manipulation of oil.
That's what I think. Anytime I've noticed this with Trump, because I've been watching what he says versus what the price of Brent is. Anytime we get close to 120, that seems to be the trigger point where he makes a big announcement.
I don't think you're right. He's doing that.
Yeah.
But I thought he could only do it two or three times. This is like dozens of times.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how long can he cry wolf like this?
Well, like we were discussing before, I agree with you 100% that it's not making as much of a big change every time he says, you know, oh, the strait is open or war is done or we're winning or, you know, we're going to have peace or some other crap like that. It's not working as much. You know, we would see a $5, $10 drop. Now it's not going down that much every time he makes these announcements. But yeah, this is like the 20th time he's like said the war is over. I remember the first like couple weeks in. Yeah, the war's pretty much done. We're almost over.
It's 30 times.
Yeah.
30 times he said it's basically over, it is over, regime change.
Which is not a regime
change. He goes, because I killed him, it's regime change, yeah.
Is Rubio, regime in power now?
You saw Rubio 3 days ago go, well, actually, we killed the mullahs, so worse people are in now. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy to me how like they just think the American public is dumb. It's like, dude, his son took over. You injured his son. He's like, you know, badly maimed. His daughter's dead. His dad is dead. I think his wife got killed in a strike too. The people that are in power now are hardliners. They're worse. Now they're, and these guys want a nuclear bomb. Unlike, you know, Ali Khamenei who wants.
Yeah, they've come out said, well, we had a follow before, but he's dead. And so we can put one together quick.
Exactly. And that's what I think they're probably racing towards if they don't already have one now at this point. Because we've proven the only way that you're going to stop U.S. and Israeli aggression is by having a nuclear bomb.
By North Korea.
Proved that. Precisely. Kim Jong-un proved that.
I mean, but like even the German leader, he was right when he said, I'm not a fan of mirrors. He said, Iran doesn't need Trump to make it full of Trump. He's done it himself with all of this constantly five times a day changing the story. That's the worst thing. That's not 3D chess. That is the worst thing in politics is the flip-flop.
Yeah.
You know, if you flip-flop as a politician in a year, you're bad. He's flip-flopping every day.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think a big part of it is controlling the markets. I think that's a big part of it is trying to, you know, keep that Brent under 120. Because I've noticed
And they also catch all his insider trading on it.
Yes. Yeah. They're making plays right before he makes every Truth Social post. So yeah,
every time, like 3 hours before he says, we have peace, it's over, and oil plunges, they put in put options against oil.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's totally people insider trading.
And then he promised to give all the staff, the lowest level, from the chef to the butler, to the secretary.
Pardons. Yeah, on his way out. Yeah, he's going to have to. You know what? I predicted this. I think they're going to, like, these kinetic strikes that they did on these guys on the boats, the drug stuff. I think the Democrats, if they get in power, they're going to go after Hegseth.
Well, talk about that. You're a former federal DHS officer.
Yeah.
I've talked to lawyers and people. If they know it's coming to the U.S. and it hits our waters, you can kill them. But when it's in international waters, you can't, right?
Yeah, well, so that's why he designated them as a terrorist organization. Because when he designated them as a terrorist organization, Trinidad, Aragua, et cetera, that allows him to utilize certain, you know, resources that otherwise wouldn't be available to him and like normally for law enforcement. Because I did drug trafficking for a while when I was on a job.
I knew that, yeah.
And like, you know, these kinetic strikes, I was like, wow, this is
well, plus aggressive. You want to come up with a helicopter and a boat and grab them to get the evidence.
Exactly.
Why do you want to kill them?
Yeah, like blowing them up is, I'm not going to lie, is kind of crazy. And I just, you know, what I think is more than likely going to happen is they're going to absolutely go after Hegseth.
No, I agree. And they're going to, if they have the Senate, they're going to be able to get the impeachment. So who do you think tricked Trump into doing that? Because it's obviously a setup.
With the kinetic strikes or labeling them as a terrorist organization?
Well, obviously to do it, he had to do the terror thing, but that doesn't... Yeah. Where do you think he got the idea to do that himself?
I think he was looking at it like, we need to take Maduro out of power. So in order for me to take Maduro out of power, we know that we have an indictment on him because they indicted him back in like 2020. And then if they label Trinidad Aragua as a terrorist organization, that gives them military resources they can use, the intel community. Because in law enforcement, you know, intel and law enforcement don't really, it's like water and oil. Like it doesn't really blend too well. But if you label them as a terrorist organization, now you have the justification to utilize both law enforcement and intel resources. That's how I think they were able to get the justification. Hey, he's indicted in a criminal court here, but let's go ahead and use intel resources to go kidnap him and bring him in under the ruse of he's indicted. And that's what that's how they were able to justify.
Yeah, I mean, I think they may not get impeachment on that. They could probably argue
that.
Yeah,
that one.
Blowing up boats.
But blowing up boats, yes. I think that's going to come back to bite them in.
Well, it looks like some were with drugs and they tracked them on the beach. They think they have that evidence, but others weren't even coming towards the U.S. and blow them up.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe they had drugs or whatever, but, like, where's our jurisdiction? We don't know a boat's coming here to blow it up.
Yeah, it's murky at best. It's very murky at best. I remember, like, when we used to arrest people for, you know, because I did maritime smuggling for a while, like, you needed to establish that they were, like, either headed towards the U.S. or close to the U.S. hitting our waters to justify, you know, arresting them, prosecuting them, etc. This stuff here with kinetic strikes... You know, that's a bit different, and it's a bit much. And I do think that
well, some cases they're blowing them up 300, 400 miles from U.S. waters.
Yeah, and they're probably saying, oh, well, these drugs were intended to come to the United States. That's probably what they're using to justify it. But in the intel world, man, like they don't play by rules. It's completely different versus law enforcement. Like in the intel world, they could kind of do whatever they want because for them, it's like we're gathering intel. We don't have to present anything in front of a court, in front of people,
sure.
Due process.
Well, here's where I'm at. Less than 1% of opium production in 2001 was coming out of Afghanistan. Previous to that, it was like half. Mm-hmm. 2 years after we liberated it, by 2024, it's 80% of world production. And it wasn't the Chinese shipping in here. It was our own government allowed it in. And yeah. We hit Russia with it. So the Chinese were involved in a lot of the precursors to fentanyl. And I'm not defending it. But their argument is, hey, you've been dumping heroin on us for 200 years. So, but it's our own government. It's like, I don't want to hear about, oh, you're blowing boats up. When almost nothing's coming out of Venezuela. You want to take them out for stealing elections, the communist Chinese, Cuba, you know, our own thing. Do that. But oh, the drugs, when our own government is literally the main purveyor of drugs in this country.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if we're going to be honest, you know, 60% of the drugs roughly come in through the southwest border, right, when I was there in Laredo, you know, 3 hours from here. The majority of drugs come in through the southwest border nowadays. This isn't the 1980s with, you know, maritime smuggling. Like, yeah, do they still smuggle drugs in maritime-wise? Of course. But nowadays, it's all, you know, a majority of it comes through the land via Mexico. So if we really want to have a war on drugs, you know, you should be targeting the Mexicans, not necessarily the Venezuelans. But I think, again, this was all kind of a ruse. Put them on a terrorist watch, put them as a foreign terrorist organization. That gives you an enormous amount of resources. You said resources to go after Maduro, kidnap him out of Venezuela, do kinetic strikes on Venezuela.
And then they put in the vice president communist and don't even have elections.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think with Iran, it's like, okay, I wouldn't mind if the mullahs fold, but Israel's going to want some weaker state. They'll put something worse in.
Yeah.
Or break it in three pieces.
They were hoping with Iran that it would be similar to Venezuela, where it's like, okay, we get rid of Ali Khamenei, maybe we'll get someone in that's going to be a bit more, you know, favorable to the United States. They got a son who's going to be worse. So it's like, you know, it was just such a.
So, you know, look in your crystal ball. What do you think happens to Trump?
I think he's going to lose the midterms, and it, you know, yeah. I think he's going to lose the mid. I think we're going to lose the midterms, and I think that there's a very serious chance that he might actually get impeached and maybe even go to jail because the base is not happy with this. A lot of us voted for no new wars. We voted for more affordability because we saw what happened with the Kamala, you know, with Kamala and Biden, and he's doing everything he campaigned against. We're in another war. Gas prices are high. Affordability is, you know, through the roof. It's not good. So everything.
And he's telling us all the never Trumpers should be our gurus now. We must follow Mark Levin.
Yeah. The Epstein files was an enormous debacle, right?
And why do you think that's going on?
The Epstein files is
for the cover up.
Probably because his name was in there a bunch of times. His biggest mistake was campaigning, saying he was going to release them and then dragging his feet. And then when people said, hey, release the files, he's like, well, it's a Democrat hoax. It's not real. It's fake. Oh, you're a loser if you want these files.
Yeah, he didn't say, no, me being in it's a hoax. Yeah. He said, and then his wife comes out a month ago, says, no, it's real, investigated. And he didn't know that speech was going to happen. So that looks like some problems in paradise.
Yeah, it just.
And I'm not cheerleading that, guys. I'm in horror watching Trump disintegrate because we needed him to succeed. The world's in a major time of change. It's so dangerous. So all the people go, oh, God, you don't like him. Just shut up and be positive. We were right about Iran. You were wrong. Stop shooting your mouths off, dumbasses. I'm not some liberal that just wants to dunk on Trump. I know that if he goes sideways, which he is, we're done because these people are coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, I voted for him too, right? So you want him to win. And, you know, this, I've just been very disappointed. The Iran war is kind of where I was like, come on, man. Like, I supported immigration when he was like doing the raids in Minneapolis. I actually praised him for it because I was like, look, doing interior immigration.
We should do that job.
It's hard. What was that?
You should do that job, right?
Yeah. Well, not so much immigration, more investigations. But regardless, doing interior enforcement and deporting illegal aliens is very difficult. And most presidents don't have the balls to do it. He actually, you know, and I wish he didn't pull out of Minneapolis. He should have like just kept going. But,
well, now his new, I said, like, says they're going to back off.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad, dude. It's like go to war with Iran and not do the mass deportations that you promised. You know what I mean? It's just like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
It's like that meme that shows Pawn Stars. They're like, I'd really like to do this. Well, best I can give you is World War III.
Because he ran on going hard on immigration. That's a big part of the reason why so many people voted for him. So it's like, dude, stick with the mass deportations like you were trying to do. You know, don't bend to these guys in Minneapolis losing their minds. The shootings were justified with Alex Pretty and Rene Good. They were completely justified. Don't let these liberals make you run you off. But I do think that he wanted to create a little bit of political, wiggle room for himself with this war with Iran, which is probably why.
No, I agree. I want to hit two final topics. I don't know if I gave you this, guys. We moved down here. This Jason Whitlock clip. I love his show because he really goes after Erica Kirk from the right perspective. I don't want to just hate Erica Kirk. I don't want to just dunk on her because it gets views. She is her own worst enemy with the optics and what she's doing, how she operates. You guys have this clip? We do? Great. I want to go to that in a minute, but first, not talk about myself, but it is a big story. You were there yesterday right before we got shut down. I know you get it because you're a smart guy. You should be in law enforcement. The court ordered through their receiver them to turn off the internet and stuff, so we had to leave.
Yep.
They ordered us out of the building 3 days ago, but then 2 days ago, the Third Circuit says, no, the receiver is removed or suspended. He can't make decisions, but I'm not going to countermand him, so I did leave. Plus, they did turn off the internet. Mm-hmm. InfoWars is down, and a bunch of other stuff got turned off, like they said they have the order.
Yeah.
But they plan to have the Onion come in right when that happened and take over. That part didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they shot at us and missed, but shit at us and hit, as they say in Wisconsin. So they didn't get their full deal. They're in total panic mode. But what do you make of that? I mean, this is just crazy.
You know, censorship, you know, a lot of times doesn't work. It creates a Streisand effect. And it's funny because now you guys are getting, you guys are bigger than ever.
Exploding.
Crazy numbers. And
thank you, listeners, for spreading the word. It's only you. Drudge Report, all of you. It's I love it, though, because they are beside themselves angry.
You know, left-wing media has really been taking a huge hit over the past couple of years because, you know,
yeah, you mentioned
loonier and loonier every year. You know, it's becoming loonier and loonier. It's just, and the Onion, I don't even, you know, what, were these guys popular back during the Obama era? Like, they're cooked. Nobody watches them.
Well, it's new owners. The former censorship czar at MSNBC, Brian Stelter's counterpart on CNN, with Bloomberg funding, Bloomberg owns and runs it through every town. So they just got, it's losing money. But I guess they thought these young kids will go out and. Have you seen the comedy they put out? All pedophilic and pro-Satan.
Yeah, I remember you showing the.
It's not even funny.
It's weird. Yeah, no, it's nuts. And look, the left is not, especially for young men. They've been ostracizing, you know, men and young men, especially the left, for a very long time. And this is why they don't get the male vote anymore, because these guys are over here, you know, pushing gynocentric social order norms of, you know, women are great, men are bad, you know, toxic masculinity this, toxic masculinity that. So they've lost the male vote for a very long time. And if you look at like the biggest left wing, you know, podcasters, nobody wants to be any of these guys. These guys are losers. Anyone wants to be like Hassan Piker? No. Paint their fingernails black, Dean Withers, you know, Adam Mockler. All these guys are like soy boys. So no one wants to, men don't identify with these types of dudes that are politically correct. It's just, this is not how we are.
And then they wonder why they have no viewers. And they think if they could get my website, they would be so popular now.
Yeah.
It's and like, no, dude, you'll be, I mean, my lawyers, they're smart. They're like, we almost ought to let them have it. It's going to be so spectacular when they're trying to wear your skin. It's going to blow up so bad. And I said, no, it's wrong to let them do it. They're violating my rights. Beat them.
Yeah.
And we are. But, I mean, yeah, imagine if the lunatics actually did that. Like, they thought they were going to come to the studio, actually host it there.
Yeah.
And it's a big, morally, I had to block it, but I, at a sick level, I was Machiavellian. I've been welcoming this.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, you know, they acquire it and then they try to do a show on it, and it's going to just plummet because no one watches.
Well, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah.
Not that it's funny. Not that they're funny, but it's so funny how pathetic they are.
Yeah, because they can't be honest, right? They have to. They got to dance around, you know, race identity.
But they wouldn't do a live hour show like you're doing without days of meeting beforehand and notes and all.
Yeah, we can say this. We can't say that. This is offensive. This is racist.
Although, let's say this. We're so smart. Let's let's manipulate people.
Let's be politically correct. You know, let's not offend anybody, but at the same time, be entertaining. It's like, dude, it doesn't like
how do we say horrible lies and get away with it?
Yeah,
that's what they're like.
Exactly. And this is why left-wing media is dying, because they can't be honest. They can't be truthful. They're too politically correct. And they're not relatable to the people.
And we all have our own deep research. We're into this. When it looks like we're shooting from the hip, confidence is not shooting from the hip. It's that you've done it so much. And so they have no confidence. Like, my problem is I'm too confident and relaxed. I got to remember I'm on air. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like.
It's just natural, man.
Yeah.
Well, when you're authentic, you don't have to worry about that, right? Yeah. When you're authentic, it's like you just talk. It is what it is.
But you seem authentic, too. But don't you sometimes go, God, I really don't give a shit. I got to give a shit a little more. Like, I'll get in front of like 5,000 people. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm okay. I got to kind of remember I'm in front of 5,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I need a little butterflies again.
But that's what people respect, I've realized. Like, people would prefer someone who, you know, is rough around the edges but authentic over someone that's like extremely refined and polished but a fraud.
Well, the problem is when you start trying to think about every calculation, I already know it's right. I don't even need to sit there and think. I don't even think what people think about this.
Yeah. That's well, for them, they're walking on eggshells, man. These guys, like these progressives, I've never worked with them before. Like, you know, do an interview with them. Oh, don't ask me about this. So we can't talk about that. Blah, blah. They're walking on eggshells all day.
Oh, I know. That's why I get so pissed at people. We've had hundreds of guests go out live and say, I've never done that. But I've had like former hosts do it. It made me really mad, even though I liked the person. Just to, oh God, I was so radical. Even he told me watch it, and I'm like, say when I said it. Well, actually, you didn't. I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, ready to, you know, I'm trying to act. That pisses me off. And I had Bongino. I talked about it yesterday. Do that. He goes, oh yeah, I was on a show 10 years ago, and he said during a break, hey, let's lie to the listeners. You mind telling a lie with me?
The Epstein thing made him jump ship. Like that was like, I think he kind of came to a place where he was like, okay, I'm the deputy FBI director. I don't really have pull here. Pam Bondi and Cash are telling me what to do. My reputation is getting cooked. What am I going to do? And I think that's a big reason why he left.
Worse than that, though. He jumped ship out of the focus, but kept carrying the water.
You said he jumped out?
He jumped out because he didn't want to be the focal point anymore, but then he kept carrying the water.
Oh, yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
He's like, I'm Bongino. I'm tough. I'll tell you what's real. I'll tell you what's not. I'm the Sopranos. And you know, you better watch it. I'm really tough. And Epstein did kill himself. And Crooks acted alone. And Alex Jones got on the phone and said, let's lie to my listeners. Hey, Mr. Gaines, mind lying to my listeners with me today? I'm like, I've never. I'm always like, hey, what are you talking about?
That's I mean, like, happened when he said.
He like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
I saw the clip just out of the blue when Trump attacked me for the first time, or the second time. He's just like, hey, I'm Bongino here. I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, I can't really do his voice. He's always trying to act tough. I'm New York badass. Watch yourself. Alex Jones got me on the phone. I shouldn't have done it, but he told me I'm going to lie to people today. Does that sound good for you? And I said, well, I understand, but all right, I shouldn't have gone along with it. But I can't remember what the lie was, though, but he told me he wanted to lie to people. You do it.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I know I'm cussing. I need to stop. He's just such a tough guy.
Yeah, you're cussing more than me. That's how I know it's bad.
He's what?
And I said, you're cursing more than I am, so I know I'm doing good.
No, he finally pushed me over the line with that. I mean, I'm just like, because, I mean, everybody knows, like, I just ask guests, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, yeah, no, you've always been very transparent about that. Let me talk about whatever, let me rant about what I want to rant about.
You know, I'm not even defending myself. It's the most ridiculous lie. Imagine telling a lie, like, but there's some other people have done that, too. Other right-wingers. It's like this thing. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm tired of it.
Well, they don't want to lose access to the White House and lose, you know, certain privileges and stuff like that. You know, certain guys just, and a lot of these guys will not criticize the war, man. Like, and it's kind of frustrating. Like, I'll watch, you know, I have an enormous amount of respect. I like Patrick Bet David, but it's like, dude, you know, he won't say anything about how bad this war is, right? And they're like sitting there constantly defending the war, him and
Adam. Well, you know, he's the airborne and officer and all that.
Yeah, but
I mean, he's in the club.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like, you know, I get it. Like, they don't want to, a lot of these guys don't want to go all the way because they don't want to lose access. The White House, lose their press pass, or whatever it is.
I think it's beyond that. I think
the information and make the decision. The fifth.
I think Patrick Bet-David cares about America. I think he's a good guy.
I agree with you.
But when you've been spooked up like him from the start, he's just. They're
I like the guy. I do like
the military. Any military. It's just like they're programmed to follow it.
Yeah.
And you know, all of them, there's a war. He doesn't follow everything else, but once the war starts. I have so many military guys, Delta Force, Army, you name it, foreign government. They go, Alex, it's bad and it's not going well, but now that it's started, we got to get behind it. I'm like, no, because it's going to get a lot worse, the threat escalation. Yeah. They go, well, you're right, but come on, let's.
And this is what I mean, because you're like, yo, how do we solve this? Like, all of us need to stand and be like, yo, this war is bad, this war is bad. But when you got people like, you know, Patrick or some of these other guys, you know, that aren't, you know, Benny, Patrick, you know, Wish Bongino, Carter, I wish more of these guys were more.
Well, here's the thing about being, you know, Army Special Operations or any of that. They're so follow orders. Even once they're out, they just can't, like, it's like, that's the commander. You know, they can't, which is what you want in soldiers.
Of course.
So I'm not giving them a pass, but that they're programmed for that.
Yeah. But now with the, you know, the size of their audiences, like, come on, man, you have a duty to, like, you know, number one.
Well, you don't think he doesn't know his audience would get bigger if he threw Trump under the bus? See, the thing is, and I'm not defending him, I had to do it because I have a responsibility when Trump's like, I'll annihilate your whole civilization one day and never return. I'm like,
that was crazy.
And he goes, tune into Levin. Levin's like, use the atomic bombs again. I don't know much about the military. But and so when they want, and I'm like, okay, I got to come out and say the 25th Amendment.
Yeah.
If you keep doing that, Trump, you're like, you know.
I was all arranged.
If he'd kept doing it, I was on an airplane to belong in the White House.
Yeah, dude.
Because let me tell you, he didn't listen to the times I met with him to anything I said or he just called me. He listens to being bullhorned.
Yeah.
And I'm not some liberal on a bullhorn. One time I did bullhorn in the White House, it was last term. He talked about it on Fox, got all this attention. So I don't want to go to Mar-a-Lago, but if I got to go, I'm going to go camp out for a week with a gigantic industrial bullhorn.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is very bad. And I wish other people in the right wing, you know, would call him out on this and say this is bad.
I mean, I was buying tickets when I said 25th Amendment. I mean, I was about to, he backed off. They say, we're not going to use nukes. We don't mean that. I was like, okay, good. And I said, I don't have to buy tickets. I don't want to confront you. But I have a responsibility. We're getting like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde behavior. I got to say something.
No, agreed. And that's how you got to use your platform. Because like, we don't want an Iraq part two. You know what I mean? We're still paying for the cost of Iraq. The 20 plus years later.
Absolutely. Also here, you got money to bash Trump. No, about 30% of my audience wants total war and death, and we actually lost a bunch of sponsors and money. And I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
I came out and said 9/11 was an inside job the first day it happened. I was on 200 stations, one of the biggest in the country. I lost 70% of my stations in a month. And they called and said, stop now. We love you, son. I was like, you know, 27 years old. Shut up. And I didn't. And I was happy to go back to 30 stations. Now I'm on almost 400 and something.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, I've been through this. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. I don't think about the cost. But if anything, it costs me money to bash Trump.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money.
And you lose opportunities, too.
A lot of money.
You lose a lot of opportunities, especially if you're in the right wing. You lose opportunities.
Oh, suddenly all these other cool hosts that I like, when they break something, they don't return my calls now.
Yep.
But they show you.
Same here. Same here.
But they're sunshine patriots.
Yeah, like same exact thing here. But when I was critical about the war, whatever, people that I was talking to before kind of like, I don't know if we want to associate with you anymore. And it's unfortunate, but we got to talk.
Hey, how do people find you?
Find me, guys. I'm everywhere. Myron Gaines X on YouTube, Rumble, Kick. I stream everywhere, pretty much almost every day.
What's your show today?
I'm gonna go back to Miami. I'll do Fresh and Fit with some girls later tonight at like 11.
Some girls, huh?
Yeah, we'll have some girls. We need to have you on with some girls. That'd be hilarious.
I don't know about that, but keep me away from the girls. Hey, Harrison Smith takes over now. Be sure and support us. TheAlexJonesTour.com. Thanks for all the support. We love you. AlexJonesLive.com.